Give a nigga a rope, you want to be a cowboy, guys.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock!
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole. Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. With me, as always, is Eric Williams, and it is October 20th. What's going on, Eric?
Oh, what a freaking eventful past couple days for myself. It's been fucking crazy as shit, fucking going from working 5 days to working 7 days and 8 hours. But you know what? And having to go in at 4 o'clock in the morning today is going to be rough, but just got out of work. Supposed to work, but supposed to have my day off. But, you know, usually Thursday all day I fucking do my research. I fucking no research because I have fucking work. So, yeah, it's a...
Right.
Eventful,
so anyway,
fucking...
Yep. Let's get right to it. As everybody knows, we do have Drake Younger on, and we're just going to get pretty much right to that. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show at this time the longest reigning CZW World Champion, former Tournament of Death Champion, former King of the Deathmatch Champion. I could go on for days with this intro, so let's just welcome the Golden Boy, Drake Younger, to the air. What's up, Drake?
Hey, what's cracking, Jay? How you doing, brother?
Doing all right, man. How you?
Good. What's up, Eric? Thanks a lot for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
How you doing?
Not a problem. Now, we figured we'd bring you on. You know, been meaning to have you on for a while. You know, I had you for a brief minute a couple of weeks ago, and, you know.
Sure.
You know, ask you some stuff. I mean, we're going to dance around on it a little bit because, you know, a lot of guys, we like to go from top to bottom. But,
right,
you know, there's
right.
So much to cover with you. And on the same note, you just came out with your part two and part three to your big DVD set. So I'm sure,
absolutely.
You know. Check out smartmarkvideo.com for that, and I'm sure they hit every angle of the business with you. So we'll just jump around a little bit.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Not a problem at all, man. I'm glad to be here. Real glad to be here.
Excellent. One of the things I wanted to jump on, one of the more current things, was finally winning the King of the Death match.
Oh, man. It was a really, really cool... really cool thing for me, a really big deal for me. Growing up where I grew up around here in Indianapolis, about 10 years ago, me and Scotty and Die Hard, a couple of our other friends, OMG, we'd go down to Charlestown, Indiana, which is down by Louisville, Kentucky. It's about 2 hours south of here. And that's where IWA Mid-South was based at the time. And, like, it was, excuse me, that was far and above, like the best wrestling in the area. It was the best place to go. And it was, you know, it was such a cool thing. As I said, you know, I'd always watched, you know, CZW on back when they were on RF and stuff like that. But, like,
all right.
Around here in the Midwest, like, IWA Mid-South was the shit. It was the place to go, the place to be. And we used to drive down there and go to the shows and stuff like that. You know, we went to, you know, a good amount of them. Well, anyway, I remember, like, even in 2001 getting the VHS from Smart Mark Video. It was a two tape VHS for night one and night two of King of the Deathmatch 2001. I remember as soon as I watched that, because I'd seen, like, Japanese death matches, and obviously, like, ECW hardcore stuff and all that. But, you know, like, ECW is the shit, but, like, they never, you know, No Rope Barbed Wire was, like, the most that they did.
Right.
You know, Mid-South,
I believe
dude,
Mondo
and,
won
like,
that one, right?
No, Mondo was in it. Mondo stole
the show.
No, Pondo. Oh, Pondo. No. 01 was it, Ian Rotten. He won in 90. He won in 97 and 2001.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Pondo won the one in 03. That's like regarded as like one of the best, probably the best one ever was 03. Anyway, watching the I got the VHS of the 2001 King of the Death matches, dude, and I was just mesmerized by how cool it was and how much these dudes sacrificed and like. And being there in that building there in Charlestown, I was like, dude, it's the middle of bumfuck Egypt. It was like the middle of nowhere, but like it was like so cool the atmosphere of being in that building because like you could like jam pack like 400 people in there, you know, you're popping
right.
like a motherfucker, popping like a motherfucker, dude. Just, it was really really cool, really cool environment. But anyway, that year, you know, like you had like Cash Flow versus Nick Mondo. Yeah, the incident where Ian beat up Peter B. Beautiful.
Oh, right, yeah.
Bad Boy Hito from Big Japan was over there. He was there. That was when Necro Butcher very first started. Necro Butcher moved from Texas up to Kentucky, and he started working with Mid-South, and that's when like Necro Butcher kind of first really broke out. And like I remember him and Too Tough Tony had a really badass match on night one, and. And then my trainer, American Kickboxer, he was in it, and like, you know, it was a really really solid tournament. And like, I remember like the second round, like Ian threw Sick Nick Mondo off the balcony into like a light tube table, and
yeah,
he's just like all kinds of crazy shit. You know, the late great Rolling Hard was in it and everything. And it just, you know, just ever since that event, like I'd always that was where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to IWA Mid-South. I wanted to just someday be in the King of the Death match. You know what I mean? And
right.
In 2006, I finally got that opportunity, and that's where I had my my breakout match. The match was like a lot of people say is what kind of helped me, you know, get out into the forefront. It was that Barefoot Thumbtack match I had with the late great JC Bailey, and it was
right.
You know, that was all him, man. He led the way, and it was cool because I was an unknown, like completely unknown. I got lucky because that year, like you know, I was still like a young boy at that point, and like Ian was he brought him this tournament that year. That normally it was like 16 guys, but he made it 28 that year, so there was like a whole bunch of open spots. Of course, there's always gonna be cancellations and shit. So I got on, and you know, I was real, real thrilled about that. And I'd gotten opportunities before, but like, I didn't really know how big they were at the time. I was still young and dumb, and I didn't appreciate the gift of this business as much as I should have. I didn't really understand the opportunities that were available to me. You know what I mean? I got it at that point. I wasn't gonna let this shit slip by me. I was like, I don't give a damn what I gotta do. You know, I don't care if I got to walk on hot coals barefoot. I don't give a gosh damn. Right. You know, at the end of this tournament, people are going to be saying my name, and my phone's going to be ringing. At the end of the, you know, when this DVD comes out, my phone's going to be ringing. That's what I had going into my head, you know what I mean? And we did that match, and JC led me through it, and, you know, he came up with a lot of cool spots, and I came up with some stuff, and he really made me look – he made me look really good because I just – that was, like, my second or third death match ever, and, like – you know, he made me feel real comfortable, and Tim and I had gone way back anyway. And luckily, Wax was taking pictures that night, and he was there at the show at least. I don't know if he's taking pictures or what, but he got word to Zandig. He told Zandig about me, and Tournament of Death was like a month and a half later, and Zandig had like, you know, a couple of open spots still for Tournament of Death, and I threw Wax, you know, Zandig booked me, and, like, I remember it was 2006, and, like, I used to do these, like, weekly shows in Evansville, Indiana at the Coliseum every Wednesday, and we was coming back from Evansville one night. We was at this gas station, like, in the middle of nowhere, kind of around, like, Terre Haute, and I got a text from Wax, and he said, "Hey, man, you're booked for TOD July 29th, yada yada. I'll see you there, man. Give me a call if you need anything." I was like, "Oh shit, man, I'm going to CZW, you know what I mean? Fuck." Like, that just opened a whole other door. I remember, like, I was jumping for joy in the middle of that gas station, like the old lady clerk behind the desk, like she didn't understand what was going on. "I just got booked for Tournament of Death, ma'am." Like, she had no idea what a Tournament of Death was.
Yeah, I was real happy about death in the parking lot. I don't know what to do.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had to share the excitement with somebody. But, you know, needless to say, get back on track. You know, King of the Death is always one of my favorite events as a fan and as one of the boys. It's definitely a cool thing. And this year I got a phone call early in the summer. IWA had been bought by some new owners, and it was coming back, and they wanted to do King of the Death in September, and then I got there, and had three cool matches in the finals. It was me and Devin Moore, Matt Tremont, and Simon Says. Go to Smart Mark Video, pick up the DVD King of the Death matches. Simon Says and this kid Damian Payne. They had the motherfucking breakout match in the first round. I mean, these dudes went bananas. Watch this DVD. I get that match gets the Golden Boy seal of approval. Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if Simon Says made his way to CZW after this DVD came out, because, like, it was just a crazy, crazy death match. So I'm telling you, Jay, Simon Says came in the back after his match on night one. I have never, ever seen somebody with so much fucking color in my life, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, on the Muda scale, it was 1 to 10, dude, it was like a 12.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. You know, it was a solid finals, and I got put over, and, like, you know, I really didn't pin anybody. I really didn't beat anybody. You know, I just went over because my name was on the line. But the thing is, like, there's a lot going into that. It's a huge honor because it means, like, you know, like, you know, the people that I did in the South, like, trust me, and they want to build their company around me, and, like, they had faith in me to put me over in that tournament. And it's like, you know what I mean? It means that I've accomplished a lot in my career, and I've done good. I like to think that I've done good business, and, you know, in the past few years, and you know, they felt that I was deserving of it, and the fan, you know, the fans were with us the whole way. It was, like, really, really cool deal, and it's, you know, kind of special to me to do it for JC too, and everything, and, like, and also it's kind of like a cool little mark out moment because I'm the only dude to ever win a Tournament of Death, the King of the Death, and the TPI. So,
yeah, TPI
pretty lucky.
TPI was 08, and yep. You went through quite a quite a group of people right there, and you really proved again, you know, whether it was the deathmatch wrestling or the, you know, the straight up wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go. And...
Yeah, I that was like, you know, like I've always said, like I'm obviously not the best wrestler in the world. I'm not like the best to look at. I don't have like a bunch of muscles and shit, and I can't do a whole bunch of cool flips, but like I like to think that I can hang with anybody. Like I can go in there and have a good match with anybody. You know what I mean? And, you know, people can say what they want about Ian Rod. I'm sure plenty of people on your show have said a lot of bad things about him.
Yes,
the fact of the matter is, man, dude's always been good to me. He's always been real good to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
He helped train me. He thought of the name, Drake Younger. He came up with the name. He gave me a direction to go with. I mean, this is early on. And then he pushed me to the moon. And ever, you know what I mean? I know every time I traveled with him, I never bought a meal, I never bought a beer, I never had to pay any money for a hotel room or nothing like that. You know what I mean? He always looked after me and took care of me. Now, I know he's probably done some foul shit to some other people, but, like, I can only go off what, you know, this is my interview with me, so I'm telling you about my experiences with him. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? And, you know, we've gotten into it a couple times, but we've done business and we've made it right, you know what I mean? So... That was cool when, you know, in 08, the TBI that, you know, he put me up. Because it shows, like, you know, because my name will go down with other guys that have won that tournament, you know, like AJ and Matt Seidel and, you know, Ace Steel, Quack, and BJ Whitmer, all those just fucking badass wrestlers. My name will always go down with them. And it's cool that, like, you know, Ian had faith in one of his deathmatch guys. You know what I mean? So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool shit, man. And you know, I've always said I was always a big fan of the IWA Mid-South product. Obviously, there was always a lot of negativity that came out of a lot of different workers, but it's
sure.
an individual thing, you know. If you had a problem with them, you had a problem with them. If you didn't, you didn't. But as far as the product
right.
went, I was happy with it, so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, a lot of that, I'm sure guys have legitimate gripes that, you know, but, you know, some of it's just, you know, maybe some guys just were pissed that they didn't get pushed like some other guys or something like the other. You know, there's always going to be stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, you know, Ian's always been good to me. And I'm glad that, you know, Mid-South is under, you know, has been brought back. And, you know, they're running every month now. And coming up here on November the 4th out here in Bellevue, Illinois, it's the big November Pain show. And for the first time ever, one-on-one in a singles match, I get to work with the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And I'm real excited about that. Like, you know, we got to mix it up a little bit in the finals of King of Death. There was a four-way and stuff like that. But, like, this will be a big singles hardcore match. And, you know, I'm fucking stoked. Because, like, you know, I got to be honest with Jay. Like, for a minute there, like, me and Grant and Scotty, we were, like, really getting worried because, like, okay, we'd been carrying the torch in Combat Zone as far as deathmatch stuff's concerned for, like,
right.
four or five years. And, like, there wasn't really anybody else kind of coming along and stuff, you know what I mean? All these years, we had to get beat up by Necro and Nick Gage and all this stuff to, like, earn our stripes
yeah.
and, like, pay our dues. And, like, now we're the guys that can do the beating up and stuff, but there's nobody there to beat up on except each other. So for a while, we were like, oh, fuck, man, there's not going to be any, like, new hot shit deathmatch guys. And then finally, a breath of fresh air came in, and that's Matt Tremont. I fucking love
yeah.
that kid, man.
Yeah,
love
I'm a big
kid.
Fan of him. Great
like,
guy.
Like, you know, it's cool because he's, like, he's super respectful, super humble. He appreciates the spot. He appreciates the spot that he has. He doesn't take it for granted. You know, like me, like Grant, not the best worker in the world, but the motherfucker will go out there and work his ass off. He will work really
yep.
hard, and he'll do whatever the booker asks him to do. And he just he shows up, you know, he shows up and he goes up there and he does work, man. And it's really a breath of fresh air to have him, you know, to have him in the locker room and have him on the roster. I'm really looking forward to the, you know, to tearing it up with him out of Mid-South. I hope I get to work with him at Combat Zone in the future as well. So. I'm sure that'll happen, but, you know, just a great guy, you know, great deathmatch wrestler, and I don't know, after watching him and working with him a little bit, I think he's, the best way I can sum him up is, like, he's
He's everything good. He's a perfect combination of everything good about Nick Gage and Ian Rotten. Like their work together. Everything good
yeah.
about those guys. Everything good about those guys. He's like a combination of them both. You know what I mean? Like he's solid, man. You know, Lil Mondo's starting to come up too, and that's good. He's another another young deathmatch guy. He's kind of been around for a while, but he's just now kind of starting to really jump in feet first or head first. He's still got some stuff to prove, but that Matt Tremont, man, he's the fucking future of deathmatch wrestling. Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
And with a lot of people that we've lost, and whether it be temporarily on Nick Gage's side of things, or there were huge names, and another guy I'd like to definitely get your thoughts on, because I know it's very close connection. That's JC Bailey, another guy we've lost. And you've done so many different things to tribute this guy. I mean, you went out there, busted your ass on the tribute show. I mean, you've everything up to the Tangled Web match, where I remember the Pondo match that he had with the Circus Death match, and you guys
yeah.
did every spot that those guys did with the web in that match.
Right.
I loved that match when it happened. So when I saw you guys doing every match move for move, and it was really cool. But overall, what's your whole what can you say about JC Bailey that hasn't been said, or maybe has been said?
Oh my God. I so much I can say about that guy. You know what I mean? We first met back in 02, when I first came around, and his dad was a promoter in Kentucky. And so he'd always been around the business and stuff. And it's funny, Kentucky's governed by an athletic commission and stuff, and you gotta be 18 to work there and stuff, and to wrestle there. Like he used to wrestle under a hood whenever he was 15, 16 to slide yeah. by the commission and shit. That's how much this dude loved wrestling. But man, we clicked right away. We just got along perfectly. Just two Midwest boys who just wanted to go out there and work and take bumps. And we both got thrills out of taking bumps and popping the crowd and getting juice and just silly shit like that. Just being young and dumb and stuff. But it was so cool because, he kind of, even though we're, the same age, he'd been around a few more years than me. I started when I was 17. He started when he was, 15, 14. And so he kind of, took me under his wing a little bit without even trying. It's not like he, intentionally taught me stuff. I just learned from him from the stuff that he did in the ring, the way he carried himself, a lot of my mannerisms that you see me do are taken directly from him and things of the sort. And, we got along great outside the ring, partied together and all this, that, and the other. I remember whenever he first went to Combat Zone, all of us boys back here at home was just so proud of him and so happy for him and stuff. Whenever we were in the ring, man, the chemistry was just off the charts. We gelled so well together. Whether we were just going out doing straight wrestling or whether we was, doing 40 panes of glass, we clicked real well. And we both, he was kind of the main guy that busted out for athletic type dudes doing hardcore. You know what I mean? You had your white beaters and your Zandags, your big jack truck drivers that would go out there and do awesome shit. You know what I mean? And then kind of Mondo came through, but then Bailey took what Mondo did and took it to a whole nother level. And just blew up with it. And, it was just an awesome performer. And he had a lot of charisma too, man. You know what I mean? People in Philly, especially the girls out in Philly, just go crazy for him, man. He had a lot of charisma. He had a lot of appeal to the audience. He's just a promoter's dream, because anything you want him to do, he could do it. If you want him to go out there and hot fly with Sanjay Dutt, he could do it. If you want him to go out there and dance with Larry Sweeney or something, he'd go out there and do it. If you want to go out there and have a weed whacker match with Wife Beater, he'd do that too. You know what I mean? He was just down for whatever. And excuse me. Trump. But yeah, man, it's whenever we lost him last year, it was a worst day of my life, man. I just, you know, I just, I lost it, man.
Sure.
I didn't know how I would go on about life without having JC around, because he just got out of jail less than a year earlier, after being gone for 2 years, and we were on the road every week together, you know, after that, and it was just, you know, such a tough loss, man. You know, I shed so many tears over him. I think about him every day. You know, but after, you know, after we passed, we knew that we had to do something for his family. And so, you know, we put together the benefit show out here in Indianapolis, the BAM tribute show. You know, it was cool. So many of the brothers came together, man. You know, Bull Payne, Brain Damage, Toby Klein, you know, Danny, Scotty, Devin, you know, everybody came out. It was just a really good turnout, and we raised almost $3,000 for his dad. We bought him a headstone for the grave, and
that's great.
Yeah, man, it was just really, really a special moment, man. I miss that guy so much, and you know, I'll always make sure that his memory lives on. And one thing, like, if you watch his shoot interview that he did on Smart Mark, he said that you know, Burns had asked him about the Circus Death Match, and that he did with Pondo, and he said that he always wanted to do it, but do it again, but like take it to another level where you like it'd be like two rings, so you could like work a match and do like spots and shit, and then you could like do stuff into the circus net, and like you know, he never got to do that. That match never got to come to fruition. So whenever me and Scotty started our feud, and I sat down with DJ, let's have some, you know, tag matches and stuff, do some other segments, and then we'll have three big singles matches. But the final singles match of the summer, like, let's do a two-ring circus death match. Let's do a tangle web. Let's do it on pay-per-view. Blow it out of the fucking water. I was like, let's do it up. And it ended up being great business. You know what I mean? It was packed house that night. And good amount of pay-per-view buys. And it was just, you know, it was fucking dope, man. Tangled Web was probably my favorite show I ever did, because, like, you know, it was, you know, me and Scotty were on the marquee. We were on the headline of that show, so, you know, it was up to us.
Now, obviously, I mean, some stuff went wrong in that match, and, I mean,
yes.
Scotty got hurt.
You like how I segued to you right there? You like
that? Yeah. You're a pro, man. You're a pro. So, yeah, man, there was some stuff that went wrong in that match, and, you know, Scotty got hurt, and I mean, it was clear by the end of the match there was some glass out there that I don't think should have been out there. I mean, what happened?
All right, well, I'm going to tell you. Apparently, this is, you know, the God's honest truth. You're hearing this from me. We talked about the match or whatever. We kind of put it together, and we had six panes. We were going into the match thinking that we had six panes of glass. We had them out there, and the spot was like, I back Scotty up in the corner and like put him up on top of the turnbuckle. I give him like the cane, like throat jab, and fucking give him like the Johnny Gargano lawn dart thing into the glass on the opposite side of the corner or whatever, which would have been a crazy cool spot, because like he's going like face first in the glass, it's gonna explode, make a huge explosion, you know, like every, you know, and all that stuff, and then we had like five more glass spots, like, you know, that we talked about after that we were gonna do after that. Okay, so the match is going on or whatever. It's time for that spot. I pick him up. Run like I said, as fast as I can, tossing, and it was weird because it broke off into like huge, like stabbing shards of glass, and like it wasn't like a big explosion that it is like normally with the with the panes of glass that CZW normally uses. I knew something was wrong immediately, instantly, dude. It turned into chaos after that, like. Scotty didn't know what had happened, but he knew he was fucked up. And, like, Lauderdale's like trying to hold everything together, and then like Maven. If you see like Maven's in the ring, and he's like tell me no more glass, Drake, no more glass, no. And then the nurse was in the ring, and like I grabbed another pane of glass just so to like see how it was, and I set it on the fence, and then it broke like as soon as I set it down. I was like, okay, there's something wrong with this glass. It's like, all right, well, we got to improvise for the rest of this fucking match now.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. And like, you know, Scotty quitting and going to the back and having somebody else run out, that wasn't even a question. That shit was not gonna happen. Like Scotty's hand could have been hanging off of his wrist. Dude was gonna tape it up and do the match. Like, we'd built this shit since October the previous year. Almost a whole year we built this shit, and like fans that pay this money to see this match, dude, we're gonna give it to them to the best of our abilities, and then we'll deal with the repercussions afterward. You know what I mean? That's how we are. It might not be the smartest thinking ever, but that's how we are, man. But you know, something's right. And like, I'd set up a sheet of glass in the corner, and I felt it. I was like, okay, I think this is the right kind of glass. You know what I mean? And then, like, Maven was like, no, don't use the glass, don't use the glass. So Maven's, like, telling me not to use any more glass. But then, like, I shit-canned him out of the ring. Like, he just automatically went into wrestling mode as soon as I grabbed him. I said, okay. And then, like, I shit-canned him out of the ring. And, like, I threw one of the walkie-talkies. And then, like, Drew Blood was in there. And Drew Blood, like, this is a testament to him, too. Like, he bought Scotty a little bit of time. He's like, bump me. So I gave him a pile driver and shit. And, you know, bought Scotty a little more time. Threw Scotty in, like, a side headlock. Let him tape him up and stuff. And then, like, we just rolled with it from there on after. Now, like, later on in the match, there's that sheet of glass in the corner. We had, like, Irish Whip planted to it. I was like, okay, even if it's like the bag glass, I'm just going to hit it real flat and run away from it. You know what I mean? But right. Luckily, that was the proper glass that should have been involved the whole entire match, and it brought the crowd right back with us. And luckily, we had the emotion was there. And like, you know, it was terrible that Scotty's hand got hurt. But I have to say this: we have to look at the bright side of things. I do think that it helped add to the match, though. And I think it made, whenever he went over and whenever he won, I think it made it that much better because he had fought through a legitimate injury. He fought through a legit injury and wrestled like 20 more minutes in a big, crazy fucking singles death match on pay-per-view in Combat Zone.
It could have been a lot worse.
Oh, dude, totally. You know, it was chaos out there for a minute, you know what I mean? We really had to – that's the thing about this business is a lot of times you got to think on your toes. And, you know what I mean? We call it the walk and talk. You know, sometimes you got to improv and freestyle with it out there if something goes wrong. And a lot of times it'll end up turning out, you know, just fine, if not better, you know what I mean? So, well, man, it was the atmosphere in that building that night was just awesome, man. You know, it was middle of August, it was hot as fuck, but like, I take a lot of pride in Tangled Web, just to show that me and Nikki kind of thought the concept of, you know what I mean, back when we did Tangled Web 1, and it's turned into a yearly event, and now it'll be a yearly pay per view. You know what I mean? And like, I take a lot of pride in Tangled Web because like, ever since 2008, like, you know, before then it was always Tournament of Death, Best of the Best, and Cage of Death. That was the big shows. That was the big shows that you knew would always draw. Well, now we got this fourth big show that we've added, you know what I mean? And it's become a yearly extravaganza, if you will, like Larry Legend would say. Extravaganza. but yeah, man, it was, you know, ended up being a great event. And, you know, I got to tell you another little backstory from it. You know, I'm sure people have some things to say about DJ Hyde. Well, okay, the thing was, you know, DJ Hyde, you know, went to a different glass guy, I believe, and he'd, this guy sold him some glass that was, you know, was like car window glass or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. But it was the glass that fucked up Scotty. Well, DJ took, he took blame for the whole thing. I don't know if he wants me to put this out there, but I don't give a fuck. I'm going to. DJ paid for Scotty's surgery on his hand. DJ also bonus Scotty and paid him for every month that he has missed since he's been out of action. Sent him money for every show that he has missed. I don't know any fucking independent promoters that would not only, A, pay for the dude's surgery. We're talking thousands of dollars, dude. Thousands.
Right.
You know what I mean? This isn't like a $500 down pay. No, this is thousands of dollars. You know what I mean? That he's paid for, for one of his guys that got hurt on his show. You know what I mean? I not only paid for his surgery, but paid him for being out of action. You know what I mean? That's good business right there. You know what I mean? Like
that's
what I'll say. People can say what they will about him, but I think DJ's the best boss in independent wrestling, no doubt.
Coming up too, CZW's having a doubleheader with Insanity Pro Wrestling. And
yeah.
I mean, before we go into the quick, you and Scotty are getting together again on Scotty's return. Tell us a little about your history. I mean, with Insanity Pro Wrestling, you started wrestling with them back in 2002.
Yeah, actually, 2001, before I was even trained.
Okay.
I was on their first show. So, 10 years I've been with them. They started that year, and that's when I started. We'd done the backyard wrestling thing around here back in the day, and we kind of like got on the local news and in the Indianapolis Star newspaper and stuff like that, and we kind of like built up a little reputation around here as like crazy little backyarders, you know what I mean? And then they started a promotion. They needed bodies, so like they brought us on, and like they used us before we were even really fully trained, and then they brought Kip. Then they brought American Kickboxer up to run the dojo, and then we got trained. And then after that, it was on. It's really a really great company, and they got a great office. Guys are stand-up guys, they're real good to the talent. And they've really grown throughout the years. They don't use no scrubs either, man. I mean, they've had the best of the best on their on their shows. You know, I mean, back in the day, they used CM Punk and Colt Cabana and, Collier, BJ Whitmer, and, they do the death matches from time to time, too. That's my home promotion where I started, you know what I mean? I got a hand in kind of the inner workings of it as well, and I helped hook them up with Smart Mark videos. Now, their stuff, IPW DVDs, and distribute through Smart Mark video, and I thought it was only natural to link up IPW and CZW because CZW is my bread and butter. I will trumpet CZW throughout the world. You know what I mean? That's my shit. And it's a fantastic company, and IPW is a great company. I thought it would only be good business for them to work together. So. I hooked up Mike Williams with DJ Hyde. Mike Williams is Booker at IPW.
Right.
And they agreed on doing a doubleheader out here in November here next month, man. And I couldn't be more excited, you know what I mean? Because, like, every month I'm having to, like, either be on an airplane or be in a van for, like, 12 hours to get out to Philly. Now I just got to go 20 minutes from my house to wrestle. Yeah, but I mean, I'm real excited, dude. Everybody, like the fans out here, are excited, and it's gonna be two really damn good shows, man. They really are.
Yeah, I could definitely see a lot of the links of the talent coming in right there, and I got to give you a little bit of credit for it, even if you just help make the connection, because I mean, you've seen, the Irish Airborne coming in, and all the different guys, the Dustin Rays, Isaiah coming in, and a lot of huge, huge talent. What am I thinking? He won the Wired title the 1 month.
Jake
Christian Haim.
Yeah. Christian Haim. Yeah, Christian Haim. Yeah. He won the aerial assault.
Oh yeah, that's right. The number one contender is what he had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another talented guy, and it's just great to see some of this talent brought out here that might not have seen the chance if they didn't get a little bit of help.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's beneficial both ways because out here in IPW every month, you know, you'll see Alex Colon. You'll see Sami Callihan's the world champ at IPW. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'll see Alex Colon. You'll see Sami Callihan on the 10th anniversary show out here back here in August, which is available on Smart Mark Video. You know, you had me versus Danny Havoc in a Naptown street fight. I mean, we lit it up, you know what I mean? DJ Hyde was on the show, and, you know, you had in the main event, you know, it was an 8-man tag, but you had, you know, Sami Callihan on the opposite side of Davey Richards, the ROH champ, you know what I mean? And you know, Davey tapped to Sami clean in the middle of the ring, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty fucking huge, you know what I mean? ROH champion put the IPW champion over clean in the middle. You know what I mean? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
dude, it's a great, it's a good relationship, and it's beneficial both ways. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with BJW and CZW. You know, it's good for both, all parties involved, and I think that's important. You know, if you're gonna work with somebody, if you're gonna do business, if you're gonna, you know, do these double headers and exchange talent and stuff, and you need to make sure it's good both ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, the show on the 5th, man, it's going to be badass, both of these shows.
Now, you know, on that show, it's going to be Scotty's return, and he's returning in a Fans Bring the Weapons cage match against you. jumps right back in the pool, don't he?
Oh, yeah, dude, he ain't messing around. Yeah, totally.
Man.
Yeah, we're real excited, man, because, like, you know, we had our big match out at CZW, and you know, everybody was, like, able to watch it on pay-per-view out here and stuff. People had pay-per-view parties to watch it and everything. But, you know, I feel like it's only right that if Combat Zone is coming to town and IPW is doing an afternoon show, I feel that it's only right that Drake and Scotty get together one more time. You know what I mean? we gotta do something for our fans out here in Naptown that have you know, watched us grow up from, you know, 16, 17-year-old young boys and stuff like that to the men that we are today. And, you know, it's kind of a personal, cool little, you know, accomplishment, I guess. Because, like, dude, back in the day around here, like, man, there was so many, like, the old-timers and stuff that, like, said me and Scotty was just, like, you know, just little dudes with baggy shorts that would just do high spots, and that we'd never draw a dime, and we'd never go anywhere, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, here we are 10 years later, man. We've been around the fucking world, dude. And now we don't want to do it. CZW's coming here because of us. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty awesome. It's kind of like a big fuck you to all them guys, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Definitely made it.
So, you know, we're going to do the old school cage match, Fans Bring the Weapons, and we're just going to, you know, just do it up big one more time. You know what I mean? Do it up big one more time. And on that show, a match I'm really looking forward to watching, if I have the opportunity to check out the monitor in the back, it's going to be... Ricochet defending the junior heavyweight title against AR motherfucking Fox, man.
Yeah,
that's going to be bananas.
Tear it up.
Yeah, that's going to be bananas, dude. Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the nighttime show, the CZW show at nighttime. You know, I'm not sure what I'm doing on that show yet, but you know, I'll be involved. Scotty be involved. Main event's a no rope barbed wire for the UVU title. Necro versus Tremont versus Messiah versus Danny Havoc. That's going to be ill.
It's going to be badass. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man. It's definitely a beautiful thing, man. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be a great weekend, period, because, you know, the night before is IWA Mid-South. So it's like in 2 days I'll have IWA, IPW, and CZW. Like, that's my three main places, you know what I mean, that I take pride in working for, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be a good weekend. And also, like, for any of the out-of-town fans that plan on making the trip out here, a little something some of y'all might not know. For my other job, I manage a hotel on the south side of Indianapolis in Greenwood. And we got special rates set up for Combat Zone Wrestling. I've had plenty of people call and make reservations already, but We got suites available for $49 plus tax. We got the indoor pool and hot tub and everything. It's the same hotel that the boys are going to be staying at, so you can party with the CZW guys. So if you want, make your reservation by calling 317-865-0100. All the info's on the CZW website. That's the Baymont Inn and Suites. Holler.
Definitely.
Got a cheap plug for my hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, I got a caller from your area code. I'm going to pick it up, see what's going on here. Caller, you're on the line. Who's this?
This is Jeremy from Indianapolis.
Oh, hey, how you doing? You got a question for Drake?
Actually, I do. I've been sitting on this for most of the show, waiting for a good spot.
And hey, what's up, Jeremy?
Not much. How you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good, man.
Drake just fired out the perfect setup line for me to set him up for a great story.
Okay.
The setup line was the idiots around here that said him and Scotty will never be nothing, and the question to set up the great story is, Drake, what are your thoughts of the bouncer?
Wow, this is random. Bouncer was always nice to me and always helped us out a lot back in the day. That's random. That's a local guy from around here, Jay.
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Anything else, Jeremy?
I heard a story, and maybe you weren't involved with the story between Die Hard and the bouncer, and I just assumed that you were involved with the story.
Nah, man. I ain't got nothing involved with that guy anymore.
Well, this was years ago that I heard the story, and I just assumed that you were. Because it was him and Scotty.
You got anything else, Jeremy? Any other questions, buddy?
Yeah,
no,
all right,
man. That was actually all I had.
You call
all right, man. Thanks for calling
got.
In. All right, buddy? Yeah. You know.
Next caller.
Like I said, I have no idea. Anyway, what I was about to say before we got the call was, you've done tremendous things in your career. You've won titles, you've held them for 2 years, you've gone here, you've won tournaments, you've done everything, and just recently, you earned one of the biggest titles, probably the biggest title you're ever going to learn and you're going to earn in your life, and that's father. Enlighten us on how that changed your life and what's up with that.
So cool, man. It's such a blessing to be a dad, and I have a tremendously awesome wife, Valerie, and I couldn't ask for a better mother of my child. She's so tremendous, you know what I mean? I go to work, but she takes care of all the dirty work, you know what I mean? Taking care of the baby and everything, and it's crazy, fatherhood can take you to places that you never knew you could go, you know what I mean? In your mind, in your head. I look down at that baby girl, and whenever she smiles, everything's okay. I could be having the worst day ever, you know what I mean? Worst day at my mark job, or I could have some bullshit dealing with the promoter or something, something cancels on me, something or the other. But whenever I come home to her, man, everything's all good. And I'm just really looking forward to the journey of fatherhood, you know what I mean? Everything that comes with it. And it's kind of funny. Yesterday, man, she's smiling and laughing now, so we're, like, starting to play games and stuff, and I was playing peekaboo with her, man, while she was in her swing, and she was digging it or whatever, she was liking it and laughing, and then, like, I caught her off guard, and I scared her, and she started, I scared her for the first time ever, and it about broke my heart, dude. Oh, my God, it broke my heart. I was like, oh, no, what do I do? I scared my kid. No, she's going to be scared forever. But it's definitely a blessing. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Sure, man.
Like you said, it's the greatest title that I'll ever have. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing that's ever gonna top that. And believe me, you're in for some. You're in for it, man. You gonna have to defend that title every day of the year.
Especially with girls, right?
Yes, sir. Believe me. But, yeah, man, it's definitely worth it, man.
Absolutely, man, absolutely.
But I mean, I think we got just a few more minutes before you got to check out on us. While everybody know about your seminars?
Yeah, absolutely. I've started doing training seminars out here and out here in the Midwest. My next one that I'm doing is October the 28th. It's in Charlestown, Indiana. It's part of a company that I've been working for there called Destination One Wrestling. On the show that night, I'll be wrestling Isaiah in a tables, ladders, and chairs match for the B1W title. But I've been doing training seminars for them. It's called the Dragon Den, and it's an official branch of the Rage Dojo where I train the American Kickboxer. You know, I cover all the nuts and bolts and all the bases and everything. But the next one is October the 28th in Charlestown, Indiana at the Civic Center from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. The cost of the class is only $20 for a three-hour seminar. And make sure you stay tuned to me here in the next few weeks because I got a big, big announcement coming up soon. I just got to finalize some details. I got a big announcement coming up soon in regards to training and things and sort out here in the Midwest. So, you know, it's something that I never really thought I'd get into, Jay, but then these guys have, you know, offered to have me come down and do some seminars for them. And, you know, it was awkward a little bit at first, but once I got into it, man, I fell in love with it, man. I really liked teaching. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, to be around the world this past 10 years and learn from a lot of awesome dudes, you know, guys like Chris Hero and Kenta and, you know, Shingo, Loki, Tugo Scorpio, all these badass dudes. And I've been fortunate enough to take knowledge that I've learned from all these different guys and apply it to myself and find out what works for me. And, you know, I've always tried to be like a sponge when I go into a locker room and just absorb any kind of knowledge that I can, man. And, you know, something that my trainer, you know, the kickboxer had always told me is, you know, this business is a gift, and you got to treat it as such because, you know, at any given moment, it can be taken away from you. You know what I mean? This is what we dream of doing since we were little kids, man. We're living the dream. It sounds corny, but, you know, living the dream, brother.
Definitely. Well, I mean, you got a lot of knowledge and experiences, you know, spread out there, so it's good to see that, you know, you're teaching some young guys out there, you know, the right way to do it.
Absolutely, so. Man. You know, I can't. You know, I pride myself in, you know, Devin has said it before, I pride myself in being a part of an era, like, you know, the guys from 2000, 2003, and 4, like, the last of an era that was, like, guys that were brought in, like, the old school, tough, hard way, you know what I mean, really had to earn their spot, and I kind of just want to pass that along to anybody that learns from me, and any of my students or anybody that trades with me, you know, they might not be the best wrestlers ever, but they will be the most polite wrestlers ever.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good. Teaching people great attitudes.
Yeah, totally, brother.
Well, I mean, one last thing before we let you off. I mean, if you could cut us a promo, Golden Boy style for Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh,
appreciate it.
You already know, brother. I've been across the world, across the land, every territory from Mississippi to Maine. And I tell you what, if you want some good wrestling talk, you want a good wrestling radio show, you tune in right here to Yakuza Kick. Listen to my boys, Jay Cat and Eric Williams, baby.
All right, man. Thanks, Drake.
Hey, can I plug a couple things real quick?
Absolutely. Plug whatever you want.
Cool, buddy. All right, guys. So my volumes 2 and 3 of my best of series, my best on the indie series from Smart Mark Video has just been released this week. It's 3 discs each. There's a over 100-minute shoot interview that covers everything from 2008 to current, and really informal. And a lot of some rare matches are on there as well. It's not all matches that you might have seen from bigger shows. There's a lot of matches where there weren't really big crowds, and you know, Smart Mark has put those on this DVD so it can be seen by the masses. So go to www.smartmarkvideo.com. Order that. Also order Danny Havoc and Drake Younger Go to Japan. Whenever we went to Japan this past spring, we brought along a flip camera with us, filmed all kinds of shenanigans and all kinds of tourist activities and things of the sort. It's just us just living the dream and seeing the world on another man's dime, two Midwest boys just doing what they love to do, and plenty of drunken activity and things with a sword on there. Also pick up King of the Death matches from IWA Mid-South. Great tournament, you know, support independent wrestling. You know, that's a, you know, another dream of mine that was achieved. And just cause keep supporting independent wrestling. You know, tune in to Yakuza Kick Radio every Thursday. Excuse me. And, you know, you can also be sure to hit me up on Facebook under Drake Golden Boy Younger. So, anyway, I want to thank you, Jay. Thank you, Eric, for having me on. Thank you for all the fans that are listening. All the fans that are listening and things of the sort. And thanks for all the love through all the years, man. I'll have to come back on again sometime.
Absolutely, man. You ever bored on a Thursday night? You hear us talking about some shit you want to chime in on? You're more than welcome, homie.
Right, yo, J. Cat Morris hates David Otunga. Hates
him. He sure the fuck does. Fuck your coffee cup, motherfucker.
All right,
yeah.
Take it easy, man.
All right, Drake.
Damn.
Well, that was Drake Younger, and yeah, you don't meet many guys better than that. And you know, Drake had to run, go do his shoot job and everything else. And dude, he's awesome. So hope everybody enjoyed that. We have a lot more things to talk about. You still there, Eric?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. Oh, man. I want to take a break now after this great interview. I'm going to give you Kurt Angle. Would you rather him talk about the match against Rude on Sunday beforehand, or would you rather hear him talk about his food products, Eric?
I don't care.
Oh, Jesus. You had two options. They're both hilarious. Okay. Well, I'll pick one of them. Let's go with the food products. I'm telling you, this guy is out of control. Someone really, really needs to do something with this guy. So we'll go with Kurt Angle talking in, you know, completely sober mind about the food products he's selling.
Ultra Fiber DX from Angle Foods. This is the kind of stuff you need to feed to your kids. And not only that, but the Ultra Fiber DX, the powder, the flour, thank God it works as a cooking agent. You can make it in pancakes. You can make it in pizza dough. You can make it in bread dough. You can make it in... There's so many... we're going to come up with a... what do you call it? A book of recipes so that people can, use the Ultra Fiber DX. It's an incredible product, and thank God we became the only distributors in North America to carry it. And it has been so successful. It is actually, right now, thank God, it's the number one selling best fat loss product in America. And it was meant to lose weight for obese patients, especially around their waist and hips, which is the most important area.
I know a lot of our listeners are in New York City, and I know you guys have been putting all of the Angle Foods and the GNCs in Manhattan and everything, so that's a great way for people to get that food and really up their training regimen, whether they're in wrestling, MMA, just looking to lose weight. I've had the Angle Food line in my gym in New Jersey for about a year and a half now. We had you out at the expo last year, and it's something it's never going to hurt anybody. It's only going to help them.
Yeah, you know what? We've done a lot of deals, and thank God we're not just going to supplement stores. Now we're going national. We got grocery stores, retail stores. It's really expanding, thank God. And, you know, we just have a one-of-a-kind product that nobody's ever come up with, and we're very blessed to be in the position that we are. It did take a lot of time and effort and a lot of money, but you know what? Anything that's going to be highly successful is going to take a lot of time and effort and money. But thank God we got it controlled, and now it's a matter of launching it and getting it into retail and grocery stores, getting it into supplement stores, and really pushing our dry and frozen products. You can always go to KurtAngleFoods.com or BarnDadNutrition.com, which is my subsidiary company that's underneath Kurt Angle Foods. But both of them have incredible products. It's food that people will normally eat, like pizza, bread, you know, other meals like chicken and brown rice and salmon and vegetables, but it's a really great product. So I'm very happy to present it to anybody that wants to live a very healthy life and not have to take out some of the good food that they like to eat, like pizza. We're even coming up with some incredible desserts.
That's Kurt Angle, you know. That's definitely that's Kurt Angle. Like for real, that was legitimately Kurt Angle. Like a few days, I'd say like a day or two before that pay per view on Sunday, and he did a podcast or whatever with somebody, and I'm telling you, I have another clip that I'll play later as another break that he does talking about his thing with Bobby Roode coming up. And I'm telling you, dude, I don't know what he's doing. I'm just going to go with drunk, and that's the nicest thing I could say about him because, shit, this fucking guy is off the fucking chain. It's like, you know, the bread, you know, there's bread and there's dough for bread and pizza, and I'm just glad you can feed it to your kid. Like, this guy is fucking crazy. Oh, Jesus. He's fucking crazy. Speaking of crazy, did you hear about Tomko?
I heard something about Tomko hurting somebody. Did he go to jail for killing somebody?
Oh, no. He's going to kill himself. But what's going to happen, what actually happened was, right, this dude's addicted to OxyContin. He walked into the pharmacy where he has his prescriptions. Well, he ate all his pills too soon, so the first day he went in there and he tried to tell them, well, I lost them, and I need more, so just kind of hook me up. And they were like, no fucking way, dude. So a couple days later, he walks in there, puts his hands in his pants as if he's holding a gun in his pants, and tells him, go in the safe and give me the OxyContin. They go in there. They give him 200-plus OxyContin. Okay? This fucking guy leaves there, goes to a Chili's, you know, the restaurant.
Right.
Asks them if he can borrow a spoon. They hand him a spoon. He's like, no, I need a deeper spoon. So they give him a soup spoon, and he takes the soup spoon. He goes into the bathroom, and now he's melting these fucking OxyContins and shooting them up in the Chili's bathroom. So needless to say, the cops were called, and he was arrested. He was given only a $7,500 bond, which translates to 10%, which would only cost him $750 to get out of jail. He couldn't post that.
Oh, my gosh.
So, as far as I know, he's still in jail. So, this dude is going through some serious shit. I don't know how many much more, you know, sillier fucking... You hear about wrestlers doing some silly shit, but this is some real silly shit. Like, I don't know, man. That's fucked up, and he can't come up with $750. Like, you ain't made enough money that you're not even holding enough money in your bank account, nothing to get yourself out of debt. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I've heard rumors that he may be homeless, he may be, you know, just kind of living in his car out of the road, whatever the case is, but god damn, I mean, that's some crazy shit, man.
He's in deep trouble. Holy shit.
Fuck yeah, he is. Yeah, he had blood running down his arms when the cops busted into the bathroom, you know, from fucking
shooting
the shit. And, man.
Wow. That's insane.
Terrible,
talking about crazy shit, fucking the whole Scott Hall thing on ESPN.
Well, yeah, the Scott Hall thing, this will only take a minute because I do want to talk about it, but I do have like a little like minute and so preview. So I figure I'll play that real quick and then we'll talk about that. So let's give this right here.
I can't tell you not to drink, do drugs. They are fun. It's fun. They work. But what sucks is when you want to quit and you can't. You know, I don't want to die, but like I'm not afraid to. Because what's left, man? What do you do when they quit chanting your name? You know?
Wrestling is not killing Scott Hall. Scott Hall is killing Scott Hall. Scott Hall's demons are killing Scott Hall. Things that happened to Scott that had nothing to do with professional wrestling are killing Scott Hall.
The best stories in sports. E60, Wednesday, 8 Eastern on ESPN.
Yeah. They had aired that last night on ESPN, and I really had no knowledge of it, and I saw people start talking about it online and stuff like that, and I found a link, and ESPN runs something, I forget what they call their show, but they run like three stories within an hour type thing. Well, one of them was Scott Hall, so you got about like 19, 20 minutes of the Scott Hall story, and this was done really, really well, and it's really sad. I mean, you everybody out there who's a fan, you know, needs to go watch that shit because it really enlightens you on, you know, the huge transformation. I mean, you got to figure the pictures that they show with Scott Hall in the ring doing his Razor Ramon thing and doing his Today thing. I got some echo there, Eric. It's just terrible, man. It's just, I mean, to see that, it's just like a Halloween costume. It's like taking a guy who was on top of the world, you know, 6'8", just a fucking monster, just going out there, all the charisma in the world, huge, you know, respected athlete, just world in his hands, just all of the attitude, all of everything you're supposed to have going out there, the swagger, however you want to put it, going out there and doing what he was doing and getting the respect for what he was doing. And then you see this melted figure, like this dude, they started it out like showing him like whatever the monster promoter is that actually booked that shit is terrible, dude. That they can rot in hell because they show like several people like helping him to the ring. And as they let go of him, he just pretty much collapses. And
oh, my gosh.
It's fucking terrible to see people actually facilitate that type of shit right there. This guy, they got him, like, they prop him up, and then they hand him a chair, and then he, like, swings a chair at somebody. And then, like, someone hits him from the back, and then he lays there and, like, drools on himself. And you can tell he's so out of his mind. It's just a terrible thing, man. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a legend, and a legend for a short time. Like, the you got to understand, the amount of time that Scott Hall was actually on his A-game, you're not talking about an enormous amount of time. You're really not. I mean, you're talking about maybe 15 years. If you clipped from when Scott Hall... You know, I mean, let's put into perspective that, you know, we're talking about from now till back then, at least 30 years worth of time. Well, you got to at least cut that in half and possibly more. I'd say you probably want to cut that to like 10 years. And if you cut it to 10 years where Scott Hall made such an enormous impact on the business, then you got to understand that he's done so much bad to himself over the rest of this time that, I mean, man, I mean, you got ESPN did their thing, man. They had Hogan, Nash, Bischoff, Stephanie McMahon, X-Pac. They had all his people, all the people around him, Stephanie McMahon going out there and saying, we have spent more money in rehab on Scott Hall than any other superstar in the history of the WWE, WWF. He is the most expensive person we've ever hired. That, you know what I mean? Like, that shit speaks volumes. And it's not just, I mean, yeah, there was a point where NWO was, you know, king of politics and they had that shit on lock. But, I mean, we're talking, like, just trying to make this guy live off of drug rehab and stuff like that. And that's pretty brutal, man. I mean, it's a really touching thing. And obviously the dude is way out of control saying and living the way he is. So there's really no defending that or anything like that. But it's really sad because it really put in just a blatant, in your face, this is what it is, light on a guy that everybody knows. You're a wrestling fan, you know who Scott Hall is. So.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody check that out, man.
I mean, for all that people shit on WWE and some of that, like, you know, they spent a lot of money on Scott Hall, you know. So, I mean.
Absolutely.
Credit WWE with helping him out big time, and you know what, I don't know what the fuck's going on with the Tomko thing, but you can see him going to fucking rehab.
Yeah. Another thing I'm gonna do, I'm gonna put up the whole 20 minute thing on our Yakuza Kick Facebook. And what I'm asking all the listeners out there is if you can get more interactive with the Yakuza Facebook. I don't think the people who run it have used it to the best of our ability. I don't think we've, you know, done well enough for you guys, but I also want you guys to participate in that. So if I talk about some stuff on the show, if I talk about some stuff on here, or I play a song or something like that, I'm going to post that video up on there and give people the opportunity to continue to, post and comment and throw questions and everything like that. And, you know, we can incorporate the questions and the feedback and stuff into our next show and stuff like that. So I'm going to try to make a conscious effort to do that. I mean, it's all on me as far as I'm concerned. But I just want you guys to reciprocate and just, you know, feed in and put all your input, all your opinions, all of that you want in there, because we're going to do all of that. So that's what it is. What else? Oh, Heath Slater was suspended for a wellness policy thing. And I think that's just grand.
That's crazy.
I hate that fucking guy.
Was he on Nexus, like that rock band thing or something? Like
one man rock band.
Yeah, one man rock band. Sounds like a rock band. You know.
Yeah, rock out, buddy. I don't give a shit. I mean, I don't like that dude, and I really hope someone should slip some fucking D-bowl, some kind of anabolic steroids in Otunga's cup. But in the same token, I mean, I think he's had that shit in his cup the whole time, so I don't, like, just test that dude's cup, please. Let's get this fucking guy out of here.
Right, right. What was I going to say?
Huh?
So I was trying to think what I was going to say. I was going to say something. I forgot.
No, I'm not asking you to post music, Brent. You don't have to like rap music. You know, I put up some stuff. It's whatever. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the Scott Hall stuff, the angle, whatever, dude. I'm just saying, interact. God damn it. another thing, Gail Kim comes back to TNA tonight. That's my first part of my TNA issue here. And
Do you have TNA on?
Yeah, I do. It's Abyss attacking. Who the hell is he fighting? I think that Gunner guy. Yeah, whatever. But either way, I know I read it. I read it, so I know what goes on. And the other thing I was wondering, you know, what's your feelings on was over the weekend, they had their little pay-per-view, whatever. They had Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode. A lot of people were, you know, fans were clamoring. I don't know. I guess there's people who care about that. We're like, Bobby Roode needs to win the title. Bobby Roode needs to win the title. He deserves it. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, who cares? You know, who fucking cares about TNA? Like, what a fucking conscience. Like, who actually sits back and actually thinks this is what they need to do? Like, it's all going to get better. So, anyway. It's like, they were all like that shit. Hogan goes on some kind of interview and says that, brother, you know the thing, brother, Bobby Roode just isn't ready. And then it comes out on the internet that, like, supposedly he actually politicked and got the finish to the match changed. And that may be, that may not be. I don't know. I don't know what the facts are. There were a lot of, like, rumors saying that he was going to win the title. Hogan went on a radio interview as, and let's put this in perspective, too. Like, Hogan just turned on the pay-per-view to be a face. So if you're going to turn to be a face and all the fans want a certain guy to win, you can't go on a radio interview saying how that guy's not ready. Like, you're doing one of two things. You're breaking kayfabe, definitely, which I have no problem with. But the thing is like, if you're going to go that route, then I don't know. Like, it puts him in a weird spot because Hogan's normally like a kayfabe type dude, like to the death. Like, he'll go on the radio and, brother, it's because the Hulkamaniacs follow me is why I keep doing it, brother. You know, my knees hurt, my back hurts, but I'm still winning for the Hulkamaniacs, brother. You know, it's like, dude, no one really believes that shit. Like, you need money, motherfucker. So you're doing what you gotta do because you're fucking hungry and, you know, you want more money and your wife took half your fucking money and all of that stuff. So I mean, you know, it's understandable and all that, but in the same token, like, don't bullshit me. So anyway,
and
the next thing that happens,
adults too. Like, he bullshits adults, which is like the funny part.
I know. And the next thing that happens is not only does Roode lose, but on fucking Impact tonight, James Storm wins the fucking title off of Angle. So, wait a minute. Bobby Roode, who was clearly the star out of those two, gets fucking brushed off as fucking winning that, and then they put the Marty Jannetty of that tag team over for the fucking world title. Like, I don't really know where you're going with that, but I do know that, like, Hogan was also on that radio show putting over, I should have got the audio from that, but I didn't, my bad, but he was also putting over James Storm as one of the up-and-coming guys. So, like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense, like, the way he's going. Yeah. Yeah, Storm won the fucking title on Impact. So, I don't know, man. It's just,
maybe it has something to do with politicking or kissing ass, because that doesn't sound right at all. Like, James Storm is boring as shit. Like, I don't give a shit about James Storm.
Nah, nobody does.
Like, I would rather see James Storm.
Juan's saying Roode to WWE, and honestly, like, people have been calling that for a long, long time, and I don't know if the ship has passed on that. But if it hasn't, then much better move for that dude, because I'm not, like, singing his praises. I really don't give a shit about him, but a lot of people have a lot of good things to say about the guy. And I, you know, if he's that guy.
Unless this is part of an angle. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe this is whole thing with an angle.
Yeah, man. Maybe an angle, yeah, and then, you know, you turn partner against partner and they have their feud and this and that. But still, like, there's no build to that. They actually had, like, when Marty Jannetty wins tonight, he's going to go, hey, buddy, you know, go ahead, take the belt. And he goes, nah, man, you earned it. You deserve it. And then, you know, dude walks off into the crowd, and that's the way they end the show. You know, it's just real minor league shit. Like, it doesn't even, like, hold up. And again, like you said, you're talking to fucking adults. That's the problem I have with wrestling. When their storylines are so insulting to someone's intelligence that you're just like, you know what? Fuck you, motherfucker. I ain't trying to hear that shit. Like, you really fucking trying to tell me that shit? Hey, listen, man. You're talking to the wrong guy. So, I just don't get it. You know,
it's just not you. It's you know, it's just not you. It's a lot of people feel that way. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's got to be like, people all over the country saying just like this.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
You know? All
yeah,
over the place.
All over the world. All over the
yeah.
world screaming that.
You just hear like a chorus of.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
You know? Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Should be how TNA starts their show. Or even WWE, because Jesus Christ, I didn't even touch that fucking ball of shit yet. Listen, man. Who are you fucking dealing with? Dude, I am so glad that they were in Mexico this week and they actually, like, had spoilers so I got to read it and not fucking watch the whole show. Because goddamn.
Sounds like a condition of Monday Night Nitro. On the
you
end.
Seen that shit?
I watched a little bit. It fucking looked horrible.
Wow, man. Wow. It was just like, I would rather WCW won because at least you got a great fucking high-flying division. You got a lot of them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Juan. But Raw, like, the motherfuckers, the main event, I'm going to just summarize it. In the main event was Alberto Del Rio and Michael Cole versus John Cena and JR. All right? And I ain't got shit else to say. Because I don't even know what the fuck else I'm supposed to say. All I can say is...
This is bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
I can't do it, man. I just can't do it. I can't handle it. I'm not fucking putting it over. I'm not going to talk about it for 45 minutes. Go fuck yourself. I'm not dealing with it, dude. Fuck that shit. Fuck John Laryngitis. Fuck David Otunga. Let somebody bust a nut in his coffee cup and drink that shit, you punk motherfucker. And just when you get home, you know what I mean? And feel free to, you know, just for me. Thanks. Yeah, I the whole roll went really fast. It was probably because I had my DVR on fast forward through the whole goddamn thing. Those guys were the fastest workers I've ever seen. It was like a 15-minute show.
It was
like
a bunch of cruiserweights.
Oh, man. It was sprint. Well, the whole thing was one sprint match. And another thing I'm really tired of is since they started with the laryngitis angle, they decided to go just completely every match is like a six-man tag. Like everything. Like it's all fucking six-man tag. And I just, every time I say, oh, this guy, that guy, this guy. Oh,
we don't care. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just more or less like that. And I just don't get it. I really, really don't get it. I love wrestling, dude. And it fucking pains me. Every week I got to be like, what can I do with this? I mean, the info you guys are giving me are just, you know, you guys are giving me quite a platform to stand on every week. It's like Jell-O. It's like standing on Jell-O every week. I just sit there and watch these bullshit shows and I'm just
God help us, Jesus. God and baby Jesus help us.
You know, I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, there's so many sound drops to work for this. Just sit there watching, just...
Fucking bullshit!
It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know what else to do. I hope for next week to be better. You always hope, and you hope, and you hope. And you just, every fucking week, you show up to the same silly shit. And there's really nothing else to say.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Exactly. What else do we have? We have plenty of things. We haven't gotten into that. Well, we haven't. Raw sucked. We got that. CW card.
Did you see SmackDown? Did you read SmackDown?
Spoilers. I read SmackDown. They had, well, I can't even read the whole shit anymore. I fast-forward through my reading of their shows at this point.
Did you read that whole thing with the Sin Cara thing?
Well,
like, what the fuck
was,
is going on with that?
Yeah, they highly advertised that it was going to be mask versus mask. Black Sin Cara versus blue Sin Cara. And that's what they're going to do. Yeah, Brian, actually, that was a jerky voice sound clip. It sure was. Saul Rosenberg. What I was saying is Black Sin Cara versus Blue Sin Cara, mask versus mask. Well, I think Blue Sin Cara won, and
no
demasking.
They didn't have that match. They didn't have that match.
They did. I read it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I read it.
Oh, Black Sin Cara lost.
Okay, well, no demasking. No demasking.
Wait, what?
No, it was supposed to be mask versus mask, blue Sin Cara versus black Sin Cara. So when one of them lost, nobody lost their mask. So they came back to the States, and that was that. That was like the one thing that stood out to me. I was like, wow, and there's a bunch more tag matches and shit just thrown together. And then, dude, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either anymore.
So, yeah. This weekend, Kevin Steen will be taking a break from Dancing with the Stars to, highlight a card named, Steen Wolf, or Chaz Wolf, as I like to call it. The main event will be his boy El Generico, the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Champion, defending against Chaz Bono himself, Kevin Steen, and, you know, should be a hell of a contest. These guys have all the chemistry in the world. El Generico will make up for this, you know, the fact that Steen is a fat shit and just let himself go and ate fucking huge amounts of Chipotle on his fucking couch while El Generico busted his ass all over the world. You know, and Steen doesn't really get booked overseas much. But, you know, I mean, he'll make up for all that. I'm sure it'll be a great match. And Steen will get all the credit in the world, you know? So anyway, you also have Ricochet versus Chuck Taylor. Talk about chemistry. These motherfuckers go way back, and that's going to be another great match. You also have Willie Mack versus Davey Richards. And
what the fuck is PWG's problem? Like, they book the same matches every month, it seems.
You have the Young Bucks versus Future Shock of Cole and O'Reilly.
In PWG?
Yes, you do.
Wow, Adam Cole and PWG, that's great.
This Saturday in Reseda, California, and you will have TJ Perkins versus Rocky Romero and much, much more.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the Young Bucks are hugely talented douchebags. They're like a tag team Teddy Hart. And, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly are just hugely talented fucking workhorses in the ring. They're really accurate with everything they're doing. I mean, so are the Young Bucks. They're just, their attitudes blow. But they work some big, like, you know, three- or six-man tag match type shit, you know, like three or four teams in a match, and those guys could definitely work together. And I really think that that match is going to tear the fucking house down out there in California. So big ups to all those guys, and it should be very, very entertaining.
Why doesn't CZW bring the Young Bucks in?
Well, their attitudes suck. They probably charge a shitload of money. And, I mean, who are you going to put them in there with?
Philly's most
CZW's tag team. Well, you know, and then I just hope that fucking you know, Joker rips one of their faces off.
Well, that's a good thing, man. It might be what we want to see.
Yeah, but you're not going to pay a bunch of money just for someone to fight somebody. I mean, as a fan maybe, but not as a you know, wrestling company owner. You're not going to go, hey, that fucking guy will never get along in our locker room. Let's hand out half the fucking house. Let's hand him what we're going to make on the door and then have somebody punch him in his face in the locker room, and maybe the match won't even happen. I mean, you don't want to invest time in that. That's ridiculous. You know. So, What else? Rude Storm, Scott Hall. Yeah, all right. I'm going to take another break. Oh, I'll throw you guys the other Kurt Angle and his wonderful use of the English language and how incredibly sober he is. This is prior to this weekend's pay-per-view, and he's going to talk a little bit about how good Bobby Roode is and just try to keep up. He's a literary genius.
Well, Kurt, as far as passing the torch goes, this Sunday at Bound for Glory, you're going to be stepping in the ring with Bobby Roode, and this is the match of his life. He's going for the TNA World Championship against the best technical wrestler in the world. What are your thoughts on this match and for Bobby Roode?
Well, Bobby Roode, I want to give you my honest opinion about Bobby Roode. God bless him. He is one of the top three best wrestlers in the world today, technical wrestlers. I believe that Bobby Roode has a huge future in front of him. The question is it now or is it later? I didn't win the title 2 months ago just to give it up right now. So, you know, my goal right now is to basically, you know, God willing, retain the title. But Bobby Roode is definitely one of the most talented wrestlers in the world. I can't take that away from him. Bear Money, both of those guys, Bobby Roode and James Storm, are two of the most talented upcoming guys in TNA. I believe any company in the world would be ecstatic and proud to have them a part of their company. So TNA is very happy to have them. And I believe Bobby Roode will have his day in the sun, but it won't be a Bound for Glory.
Well, there you go, guys. You heard it from Kurt Angle.
Kurt, I think it's going to be a hell of a match. You know, he's got a real athletic background like you. He played hockey up in Canada, part of a good tag team. But I think, you know, in the long run, the experience of Kurt Angle, as much as you suck, you know, you're going to win this thing.
I believe so, and I hope to God I do. But I will tell you this, and I guarantee it, this match has the capability of being Match of the Year honors. That's how good it's going to be.
And hockey, most people know this, but how do people watch that Sunday?
Well, I hope a lot of people tune in. I mean, you have Hulk Hogan versus Sting, which hasn't happened in 12 years. I know a lot of people are like, well, why would Hulk Hogan get in the ring? Well, guess what? Hulk Hogan's getting the ring for our company, for TNA Wrestling, and he's proven that he can still go. And God bless him. That means a lot to him and Dixie Carter and everybody else and all of us as wrestlers. I'm actually going to mark out for the match, to be honest with you. It's going to be Hulk Hogan versus Sting. You know, last time he did that was in 1999, so I'm actually excited about it. And, you know, whether the match is incredible or good or decent, whatever it is, it's Hulk freaking Hogan and Sting. This is going to be huge, so I'm excited to watch it.
That's awesome, man. Listen, we all wish you the best performance Sunday.
Oh, thank you very much. And I guarantee anybody that orders a pay-per-view, I guarantee Match of the Year. Arango versus Robert Roode. And this will be definitely the Match of the Year. That's how good he is. And everybody knows how good I am. So thank God I finally have a talent that I believe that can stand up to me and really give me a fight. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. There's another thing about that Bobby Roode guy. It's like I don't know if I've really ever seen him in a good match like he's going to be in on Sunday with me, but he's not going to win. He'll win the rest of the matches, but it's not going to just... Yeah, I tell you about my food.
You know what's funny, like? Earl's dying. He's marking out for Hogan. He's probably politicking for to keep that belt when he said that.
Another thing I'm marking out about is Sting and Nash and, oh, and not Nash, but not Hogan and Flair. Flair's a good guy. If those guys had just smashed their wheelchairs into each other, I'd be the best technical. I don't know, man. Kurt Angle has been arrested more times in this past, like, 2 years than I don't even know. Like, it's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. I don't know. I don't know what else to do with that guy. I mean, he's just, you know, such a talented guy. And, you know, don't even go on the radio. Don't get in your fucking car. Can you not get somebody to drive you? Seriously, like, I've seen a million people who are just indie workers who, after the show, and I'm not going to name names, you know, that's their business, but they're more responsible in getting banged up after the show and having somebody drive them, having a mark drive them to a hotel, to an airport, to that mark's fucking couch so they can stay overnight, to wherever, so there ain't no motherfucking problem, and, yeah, I mean, nobody gets hurt. Hey, drive me here.
Yeah.
Drive me over there. And who doesn't get fucking arrested and crashes into a meeting and is just like, oh, just, you know, falling asleep. And, you know,
that's
what I mean? You hear this motherfucker on the radio and then my favorite sound clip of the week.
This is bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Kurt Angle was definitely one of the fucking best. I mean, he really was. Tearing it up. I mean, you know, when you looked at some of the best guys in the Attitude Era, I mean, you were talking your Stone Cold. You were talking your The Rock, you know, Undertaker.
Triple H.
Triple H. Fucking Kurt Angle. I mean, really. I mean, what other guys were, like, really at the top of that fucking line? Not that many. I mean, maybe Shawn Michaels, too, you know what I mean? But, you know, there were other people, but he was definitely in that mix. There was no keeping Kurt Angle out of that mix. And then, you know, Brock Lesnar came in and stuff like that. And one of those top guys up there battling with fucking Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, one of the best matches Brock Lesnar had in his career, Kurt Angle. Like, I mean, it's fucked up, man. You see a lot of these people taking these fucking directions, and... There's really not a lot you could say for their defense because, Jesus Christ, these guys are cutting these fucking radio interviews that are fucking so long and disrespectful to their entire character and career. If they can't defend them, how the fuck are you supposed to? So, I don't know. That's what that is. I guess we better get into this NFL thing because we haven't touched that yet. So, last week.
You gotta do what you gotta do. You're forgetting one big part of the NFL part.
What?
You're forgetting a key point when you go into the NFL. What do you usually do?
Oh, I'm working on it. I haven't forgotten a goddamn thing. I don't know what you think I forgot. The most important thing about the NFL thing would be.
San Francisco.
That would be the most important part about the NFL. I mean, other than that, I mean, you could be talking about other random music or something like that. But I mean, the most important part is actually what I played. But now you must be talking about this. And I mean, last week, listen, I had another bad week, but to me, it was a wonderful week. There was really no. There is really, really no bad to my week. I had 6 wins. Like I did the previous week, which is still my lowest total, and that's just fine. I'll deal with that. Let me cut the music. Cut the music. Anyway, you know, so that brings our total at this point, because I jumped ahead by quite a bit, you know, on Eric early on. And Eric had 7 wins this week, which was 1 more than me, just like last week, same score. So now it's 48. I have 48 wins, and Eric has 41 wins. And it is week 7. My Niners took out the fucking undefeated, unstoppable motherfucking Lions. And, hey, Juan. Eric rooted for your team this week. Look at you guys. Come on. So, yeah. That's what happened. And, man, big shit went on, like, this week, you know, a bunch of different things. And, well, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Everybody was wearing their 49er gear. I got all my girls lined up with that stuff, cheerleadered out. You know what I mean? Got my Pat Willis jersey on. I've been Pat Willis'd out for the most part. Every once in a while, I'll substitute it for my Joe Montana and shit, keeping on a little throwback. But, you know, we've been doing our thing. So I gotta say, fucking 5-1. That motherfucker's a beast. Oh man! And what happened after the game? That shit is beautiful. Fuck that shit. Fuck the little punk ass Lions coach. That motherfucker can suck my dick, you little fag. Cause my coach was hyped, man. That's what I want. My coach is hyped. He gives a fuck. You know what I mean? So he went running out there and he shook the dude's hand, aggressive like a man, and he fucking patted him on the back. And then the dude was, that was a little too rough, you know. And then he went jogging over and had a whole pull apart, fucking yeah. You don't care, Juan. I thought you was leaving, motherfucker. You punk ass Eagles. So the whole pull apart brawl shit. Hey, my man said straight up in the press conference after the game. He said, okay, listen, I'll take responsibility for that. I was really really excited. I was really hyped up. And maybe I shook his hand a little too hard, you know. I probably shook his hand a little hard. So if motherfuckers catching feelings over that type of shit, then hey, man, nobody fucking punched you in the face or shoulder blocked you. He was just really hyped up. He just beat your fucking undefeated team. Who would have thought the fucking Niners would be 5-1 in 2011? Who would have thought? I mean, see, I'm a Niner fan, and no way would I think that fucking last week's Alex Smith was number 3 ranked quarterback. He's not anymore, but in the same token, he didn't lose, and he's hacked on one more pick, but still, going into the bye week, week 7, he only threw 2 picks this year. I mean, that's I'm fucking loving this. So I'm very happy, very, very happy. Anyway, bye week. For both of Yakuza Kick Radio's teams. And, anyway. Game 1. We have the Washington Redskins at the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers are favored by 2.5 points. Who do you got, Eric?
I got Washington.
Wow. I got my man Cam Newton. And the Panthers. Next up, we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Cleveland Browns, with the Browns favored by 3.5 points, and I'm going with Seattle.
Going with Seattle.
All right. Next up, we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Detroit Lions, reeling from their 1 loss from San Francisco. The Lions are favored by 3.5 points. Who do you got?
Going with Detroit.
Yeah, I'm going with Detroit as well. They're a badass team, dude. They fought us tooth and nail, and not for 1 second do I ever think that they're not a tough team. They are very much so a tough team. I'm proud to have beat them. And this isn't just, you know, talking shit because we came out with the win. It's legitimate shit. We're like, dude, man, we battled. We got that fucking win. And I couldn't be more proud of my team right now. That's doesn't come easy. So anyway, Troy. Next up, we got the Denver Broncos at the Miami Dolphins. And Miami's favored by 2.5 points.
Going with Denver.
I'm going with Denver, too. Miami's kind of garbage. Next up, look, Billy Graham's in the chat room. What's up, Billy? Next up, we got the San Diego Chargers at the New York Jets. And the Jets are favored by 1.5. And I got San Diego.
I got the Jets.
All right. Next up, we got the Chicago Bears against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Chicago's favored by 0.5.
Going with Chicago.
Going with Chicago, too. Next up, we got the Houston Texans taking on the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee favored by 2.5 points. Who do you got?
I got Houston.
I got Houston, too. Even though I think they're still without Mario Williams, and that's a serious thing. If they don't win this week and they're still without him, I'm definitely going to go about picking somebody else, like when they play a tough team, because I don't feel that they're going to continue to be a tough team without the minister of their defense. I really don't. Next up, we got Pittsburgh Steelers at the Arizona Cardinals with the Steelers favored by 3.5 points.
A rematch from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and both teams are pretty with points per game. Arizona averages 23.4 points per game. Pittsburgh averages 23 points a game. I'm going
wow,
with
what did you do with the stats?
I'm going with Arizona.
Huh. Okay. I'm going with Pittsburgh. Next up, we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Oakland Raiders. And the Raiders are favored by 3.5 points, and I got Oakland.
And with the brand-new quarterback of Carson Palmer, I think Kansas City has this one. I'm going with Kansas City.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I don't think Carson Palmer is going to be starting this week or anything like that. I think that would be very, very brave to throw him in there with less than a week's time. And, you know, I just don't see it. So anyway, we also have the St. Louis Rams at the Dallas Cowboys, with the Cowboys favored by 12.5 points.
I'm going with Dallas.
I got to go with Dallas as well. St. Louis is horrible, and I'm loving it.
Good.
Actually loving it. It's in my division.
Division
champs. So, you got the Green Bay Packers taking on the Minnesota Vikings with the Pack favored by 8.5.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
I'm going with the Pack. The only green team in the NFL that's not disappointing their fans. next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts. Drake's Indianapolis Colts taking on the New Orleans Saints. The Saints favored by 14.5 points. And I'm going to go with Indy on this one. Just keep it close.
Going with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. Fucking Indy's killing me this year. I just hope that they don't lose by fucking 800 points, and they manage. fuck who won. Fuck who won. It's just random. Fuck you, out of nowhere. All right. Next up, we have... Oh, fuck me for the, yeah, I'm a hater, yeah. No, I'm not a hater, I'm just a realist, and your team sucks. Your team fucking sucks.
No,
that's too bad, guys. Put them jerseys away. Dry clean them and hang them in plastic for next year.
Yeah, more like San Francisco. Fucking 5-11,
over.
Baby.
Oh, yeah, 5-11, baby.
5-11, baby. 5-11, baby.
I'm liking the 5 part right now where there's only a single one behind it. Anyway, last game we have is...
Fuck the 49ers. Fuck the 49ers.
Yeah. That's what all the bitches do because they're winners. They fuck the 49ers. Anyway, we got the Baltimore Ravens at the Jacksonville Jaguars with the Ravens favored by 7.5 points. And, Is it your pick? My pick?
Your pick.
Oh, okay, Baltimore.
Going Baltimore as well.
All right. So that is this week's picks. And I don't know, man. And we'll have to see what it is, man. I'm not feeling as lucky this week without my team running down the fucking field on everybody against them. I know we come back off our bye week, and we played a team that, you know, y'all were good enough to beat, so I'm pretty sure we're going to be okay because we come back and we play Washington. So I don't know who you guys play on your week back.
Really?
Huh?
I said, really? You're going to be okay? Is that what you said? Are you sure you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantees, but I'm just trying to say, like, if you guys beat Washington, I'm pretty sure we're going to beat Washington, because, didn't we kick your ass? Yeah, oh, yes, we did.
There we go.
Yeah, so, you know, here we, yeah, it's just kind of, just, again, I'm a realist, not a shit talker, I'm a realist, so when it comes down to, well, you know, you guys run a huge slump, we're on a huge fucking streak. See, and that's the funny thing. Oh, 5-11. Oh, it's so funny to call a team 5-11. But we have our schedule coming up. Not only do we have, okay, we got our bye week. We come back. Oh, actually, we're not against them right away. We're against Cleveland coming back. And you guys are playing Dallas.
Dallas.
Good luck with your brawl out with your division rival. And
oh,
then...
We'll take Dallas. We'll put them in the fucking
sure.
ground, stomp them on motherfucking targets.
Why not? And then we play Washington, who you guys beat, so how tough could they be? And then that same week, you're playing Chicago Monday Night Football. Then next week, we have the Giants. You know, I mean, they could be tough, they could be not. But that could be a tough game for us.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, you guys are playing Arizona that week. Not that serious.
Easy. Easy game. Kevin Cobb.
Easy. As you say, easy. We play Arizona the next week, and you play the fucking Giants. And the next week, that next week is real funny. I like
look
that next
Juan.
Week.
Look at Juan just posting in the chat room.
I don't know what he's posting. He's partially... retarded. You can't even speak. I hope you trap on a second step. Just fucking speak English. You know? Anyway, so then the next week is a lot of fun for me because hold on, let me get this for Juan real quick because I just feel like I need to tap this one because he needs, like, a spell check or some kind of shit. Because every time, like, he's in the motherfucking chat, it's crazy. It's just crazy. I hope you trapping on a step. I don't know, man. But the next week, that's Thanksgiving week. And the cool part about that is we got motherfucking... We got a Thanksgiving Day game. We got Thanksgiving night. And I was going to go see the Muppet movie on that night, but we're playing that night, so I can't. So we're playing Baltimore. And, you know what I mean? So when we're playing Baltimore, it's going to be what it is. Y'all motherfuckers is playing New England that week. So... Yeah. It's kind of like good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that that's what I'm saying. So I don't know about all that 5-11 crazy shit you talking, because, dude, we got pretty good looking games ahead of us. I don't know, man. Trapping on the steps. Sitting around just trapping on the steps. Oh, you meant trip on the second step. The more you know.
How about this? How about this? The Art of Wrestling, Colt Cabana's podcast, this week, episode 65, with Chris Masters.
Nice. It's still on because, like, I got to check my shit because it's not updating anymore. I didn't know if it was still on.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it. Like, the same episode was, like, on there as, like, the latest episode. So, I didn't know.
No, it works. I mean, it works. On my end, it does. Maybe you have to update it.
Yeah, maybe I do. Hey, but Juan, if your Eagles keep losing and you need something to do on a Sunday, then, you know, you could always, you know, it's okay, buddy. Hang in there.
Well, that's kind of mean.
The more you know. Kind of mean. So, anyway, what else is up, man?
Nothing, man. Like, working at 4 o'clock in the morning is going to be rough this week. I had that shit 2 days in a row, tomorrow and Saturday.
That's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah.
Huh. So, anyway, yeah, man. Like I said earlier, I got a... He said, I got ill, got a real Pokemon. Dude, I don't understand Juan at all. Like, Juan just starts talking just like a fucking 5-year-old. Just says some old random shit. Like, just, I don't really get it. But either way, like I said earlier, you know, Drake was on. You can check out his shoots. He put out number 2 and 3, smartmarkvideo.com. Check that shit out. CZW is running that doubleheader with Insanity Pro Wrestling out there. Check them the fuck out. That's like the November 5th or some shit, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 5th. And then next weekend they're going to be in Philly. The cool shit about what I'm seeing with that is that, listen, fucking Devin has an open challenge. Devin Moore has an open challenge for the world title on the 5th, right? And I think Eric and everybody, all my listeners, know how I feel about Devin Moore's title reign. The next week, whoever is the world champion is fighting Masada for the world title. So, yeah, looks like the motherfucking title is coming to Masada on the 12th. And Billy Graham says he wants the title shot at Devin. Well, I mean, he just got to show up in Indiana. He's challenging an open challenge to anyone in Indiana. So as long as you're in the mode, you know, you're in the mood and you're in the area, he's putting it out there for anybody, you know. It's kind of your move. Like I said, 4-way. Ultra Violent Underground title match. Masada versus Matt Tremont versus Danny Havoc versus Necro Butcher. I myself see Matt Tremont coming out of that match with the fucking title. Either Matt Tremont or Danny Havoc. Because Cage of Death, you have Matt Tremont versus Danny Havoc. And what better than for it to be for the UVU title? Why not? Because the next month, Masada's walking away with that fucking world heavyweight title. And he doesn't need the UVU title anymore. So you put that strap on Matt Tremont, or you put it on Danny Havoc, and then have Matt Tremont win it at Cage of Death, that would be a good move for me. They're having a number one contender for the junior heavyweight title tournament, mini tournament thing, start on that day. They're having six people. They're having six people fight in singles matches, and then the next week it will be a three-way final for the number one contender to the junior title. So match one will have AR Fox versus UHA Nation, which I looked this guy up, and he's a big fucking dude, and he has a lot of athletic ability. Like he could fly a little bit and stuff, but he's a big fucking dude. Like, hey, night one. He's a big fucking dude. So he's fighting AR Fox, and these guys are no strangers to each other. They've actually worked out, you know, in the ring before. I watched a little bit of that. It was, you know, in front of like 12 people, and it's cool. But I mean, they, you know, I think we're looking forward to a little bit better over there in Indiana.
Hey, where the hell did you do that at?
YouTube.
Oh. Oh, they trained together?
I don't know. It was on the show. Like, they they worked a match, like, you know what I mean? So.
You must have trained with them then.
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything special, but you saw some definite, you know, like, prospect out of this guy. Like, he can definitely go.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't a very technical match or a very well worked match, but it was definitely, it showed some of his athletic ability and definitely showed he's a beast of a dude. He's a monster. So I hope to see him in Philly the next week. Next up, you have Dustin Reyes versus Brian McBride. Yeah, Diane McBride. Dustin Reyes versus Brian McBride. Yeah, both of those guys. Next up, you have Jonathan Gresham versus Drew Gulak. So you have those six guys in singles matches, and then the next week, whoever wins those three matches will face off in a three-way dance. Winner is the new number one contender at the CCW Junior Heavyweight title, which is actually going to be either Sami Callihan or Adam Cole, who are facing off at Night of Infamy. And that's going to be some big shit. DJ Hyde is also facing Sami Callihan in Ohio, which got switched from a barbed wire death match to just the match. Because Masada, Tremont, Havoc, and Butcher are going to be working the, you know, the barbed wire death match. So that's what's going on over there. Yep. So that's all. That's what that stuff is. got a cat from UK signing in right there. Nice. It sucks when I got people from all over the place signing in and shit. Nah, I'm fucking running out of things to talk about. Ohio, no, not in Ohio, Indiana, my bad. Brian, are you in Ohio, or? Shit, man, the only thing I could think about from Ohio right now is that jerk off, that fucking asshole that killed himself and let out fucking, like, 50
wild cats. Oh, yeah, I just heard about that.
And, you know, fucking tigers, lions, the whole shit, man. Were you close to that at all, Brent? You know, with the cats and everything that just happened? Fuck, man. Like, this guy, he had, like 19 tigers and 18 fucking lions. Like, crazy shit like this in his fucking little backyard farm. This cocksucker was, he just got out of prison and all of this stuff, and he was convicted for some old shit. He had fucking all sorts of, you know, charges against him, and he had animal cruelty shit like a year ago. This fucking guy decided to kill himself. But before he did, he let all of these fucking innocent animals out into the wild. So this left these motherfuckers, you know, these ridiculous cops and all of this state trooper or whatever the fuck. And, you know, honestly, like, I can only blame them so much because it is a severe risk to people. So once somebody does that, they are the number one fucking... The biggest thing that I would give, I will, you know, just to summarize before I ran on this, but every one of these animals were shot dead. Every fucking one of them. You look on the news and you look at these clips, man, and you just see lions and tigers laid on their fucking side, fucking shot dead all over the fucking place, just like in a field, just line the fuck up. Like, dude,
Just because it's some jackass.
It's horrific, dude. It's completely fucking horrific. And I can't even fucking stomach it. Like, it makes me sick to my fucking stomach. And the one thing I could say that I can definitely criticize, and I really can't criticize the law enforcement for not being well-equipped enough to tranquilize fucking 50 fucking tigers and lions. This isn't Africa. This isn't something that they're just ready to fucking handle. So I understand, yeah, it would be better if they were tranquilized and relocated or something like that. But when it comes right down to it, that's not really logical. But the fact that this guy had animal cruelty charges and they did not follow this fucking guy up, he's been in and out of prison, he's done all sorts of things, including fucking animal things, and they did not follow this guy up, and he had fucking 50 animals, lions, and hey, this guy still had dogs, and he was an animal cruelty guy. This guy had fucking 19 fucking tigers. You know, how the fuck do you not follow this shit up? Monkeys, fucking giraffes, fucking everything.
It's Ohio. What do you expect? Ohio doesn't do shit, seems.
Well, I expect better out of fucking human beings, because these fucking animals are better than everybody out there. They fucking just, they live off of instinct. They don't have, they rely on us when they have to rely on us, because we put that on them. And when we put that on them, and the result of that is they get shot dead by more of us because one asshole decided they don't want to live anymore, well, then I got a huge fucking problem with that. And it's just a terrible, terrible fucking thing, man. It just really, you know, I watched that last night, and I watched the Scott Hall thing last night, and it just fucking went to bed sad as fuck, man, between a guy who deserved to fucking live and just shot himself in the fucking face for the most part. And I'd be really, really surprised if that guy turns out okay. And, you know, fucking 50 wild animals, endangered species and everything else that are gone. And just motherfuckers just loading them in their SUV after they shot them with their fucking shotgun and shit like this. And it's just fucking terrible, dude. I don't know. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got on that. I had to definitely get that off my chest because it's something that, you know, usually fucking bother me. So anyway, I don't think I got anything else, man. You?
No, I'm all good.
Yeah, Eric's got crazy fucking middle of the fucking morning work shit going on. So, yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up. I want to shout my boys over there at the Wrestling Soup out. Definitely want to shout out my man Drake, man. Yeah, the guy did a great shit for us, and he's got a shooting interview coming out. Well, it came out this past week. Check out part 2 and 3 of that. And it's what it is, man. So I'm just going to go on that. And definitely check us the fuck out next week. We'll have a lot more shit to talk about, I'm sure.
I won't have some crazy work schedule to fucking worry about.
Good, man. Good. so, yeah, man.
Everybody have a great night, though.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, everybody, for, you know, listening in. You know, Brent, Billy, everybody, man. Fucking
Juan.
Everybody that chimed in. Drew Gulak was listening earlier. Yeah, shout out to everybody. Check out everything that's going on. Support indie wrestling. We will
check out Yakuza Kick on Facebook.
Yeah, check out Yakuza Kick on Facebook. We're going to be posting a lot of shit up out there. We're going to be blowing that motherfucking page up. I'll play some shit on the outro. But anyway, man, we will check you motherfuckers out next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Peace, motherfuckers.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
And we're taking over. And we're taking over. And we're taking over.